What's up, y'all? We're back with another episode of The Creepy Tales. This is your host with the most, Dub. And we are here with one of the most beautiful women from Texas Southern University. She left my homeschool PV. Oh, but we're here with Jalen. You want to talk to the people, Jalen?
Hi, everyone. How are y'all?
All right. We got some really good stories today. We're going to get right into it. All right, so for the first topic today, we're taking it down to Latin America, and you feel me? It's a ghost story, but it's about these type of specific ghosts called La Llorona, right? Or it means like the wailing woman. So this is a specific story that happened in Chile. Like, I don't know when, but it happened in Chile. And it's about this woman named Lola, right? So this is where the story set up. So this woman named Lola, she had a young son, and they was planning a day out to this little ski resort called La Parva Ski Resort, right? Up in the Andes. For folks that don't know, Andes Mountains, the longest mountain range in the world. So it's a whole lot of shit that going up there, right? So she go up there with her son, they skiing, and as soon as they start coming down the slopes, a thick ass thing of fog come up and they can't see nothing. So they're trying to go down this steep mountain, can't see shit, right? So then again, split up, and Lola's like, bro, where you at? Where you at? Can't find him. And then all of a sudden, the fog clear up a little bit, and all she sees is that she's heading towards this like little rocky crevice. So, boom, she hit down there. She pretty much dead, right? Out of her. And this ski instructor comes and finds her. And he's like, oh shit, she on her way out. So he takes her back up to his cabin and he's trying to like patch her up and all that. And he's like, hey, bro, what's wrong with you? What's like, what happened? Like, you like, what's going on? What's your name? And all she could say, like, what's her son's name? Said it one time. He runs out trying to find a doctor or something to bring back to the hut. Whenever he comes back, she's gone. All that's left there is a bloody sheet on the bed. And they never see her again, nor her son. Like, so yeah, I mean, it's some real, real crazy shit. And then there starts being reports in the area of this woman who's just yelling loud as fuck all the time. And that's Lola, right? From what people think. Like, but I'm saying they never find anything, but they just always hear these wailing women.
So when they found her, they found the son as well, right?
No. Son was gone. Yeah, like, whenever the fog came up, son was out of there. He ain't in the rest of the story. They don't know what happened with that, man. Pretty much. He ain't make it halfway down the mountain. Bro was out.
Lola, she is gone, and they keep hearing
the
screaming woman.
The
only thing left.
Yeah, because now Lola is a La Llorona. You already know. Hell of a Spanish, you did. But,
Wait, what does that even mean?
The wailing woman. Like, okay. Yeah, okay. That's it. Yeah. It's a specific type of ghost. This ain't no regular ghost story, you feel me? Okay. This is a La Llorona story down in the Chilean Andes, you feel me? At La Parva. Again, I'm bilingual, you feel me?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're trying to figure out what happened to her. What do I think happened?
Yeah, what you think happened? Let me know. Let the people know.
Okay, so the guy finds her, right?
Mm-hmm. And practically dead.
He finds her practically dead. Where does he go? He wants to go get help?
Yeah, he wants to go try to find a doctor. It's a doctor like farther up there because he's a ski instructor. He know the area.
They have no service? Why didn't he call for help?
It's the mountains. There ain't no service.
There's no service.
Yeah. Okay. And then they admitted like the thick fogs of it. I don't know. It's probably messing with something else. It's hard to see. He just know the area.
Screaming? I don't know.
So like,
how could she have left? Maybe she got eaten.
But thing is, like, there was no signs of damage, nothing. Like, it was just body gone, bloody sheets on the bed. And then whenever people go up, like, near the lift operator's cabin, all they hear is that wailing. Like, they just hear her, like, screaming out her child's name. Like, high-pitched. All that.
I don't know. Because if she's almost dead, I don't know how she could have, like, walked out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she did, though. Maybe she's just hella depressed and she didn't got herself a cabin out there and she was out there screaming. Maybe she didn't lost it.
But, I mean, this, like, let me say, I don't know when skiing started, But the way they make this seem like it happened, it seemed like it happened, like, decently in the past. Again, okay. I don't know how old Skin really is. This might, like, Skin seems pretty new to me, but I don't even know. But my thing is, they say people still hearing this. She should have been dead if she had all the managers like that. She, like, she was Skin and fell into a pit of rocks. You ain't really walking out of nowhere. That's the way I see it.
Well, the only way I can see it is maybe the son lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he snatched her up out of there. But I don't know why they would be screaming, unless he was torturing her. And I don't know. That's
but he's screaming. But he's screaming her name. I mean, like, she's screaming his name. Yeah, screaming his name.
Maybe because she wants him to release her.
Ooh, all right. So this is an extra little detail that I left out at first, right? So they said back in the day, like before they built the ski resort, La Parva, where the thing is, it used to be this spot called Spanish is a little rusty. Cerro El Plomo, right? They sacrificed children here. That's what it was meant for. It was a spot where they was doing nothing but sacrificing children and doing little rituals and stuff.
Okay, so then maybe the son didn't die, and maybe they're making her watch her son get tortured, and that's why she's screaming for him. Or maybe,
I mean, but I like, know. But like, who's doing it though? Because it's supposed to not really be anybody. It's just supposed to be for Skin. It can't be people like living up there.
How do you know?
I don't know. It don't make no sense to me. I'm like, they searched the area and all that. They never found the folks.
This is like some movie you can watch it on Netflix. It's like Making Goods in there. I think And it was called The Neighbor or something like that.
I have seen that.
Yeah. Okay, you know how he had the house outside and it was like connected to that little shed? You never know where people be living. He was living in the walls of their house that he sold to them.
That is true. That is true.
So you never know.
Man. I mean, I could see that. Like we had another... We had another story on here called The Devil's Tramping Grounds. And I came up with a whole conspiracy theory that was really just some white folk in the woods killing people. And that's why nobody can survive through the night. But I don't know. I don't mess with the cold like that. So I'm like, who's really out here sitting in the high mountains just to scream at folks? It don't make no sense to me.
That's what's happening. Somebody's torturing her. That's the only thing I can think
of. I think it's ghost. I ain't gonna hold you.
Or her soul is like trapped up there. And, yeah. Like, I don't know.
Cause like
it's karma.
Like it seemed kind of weird though, like out of nowhere. Like she said it was like the story goes like it was cool the whole way up there, and then as soon as it started going down, this thick fog rose up from the valley like that she fell into. Like so like to the point like fog, like you can't see nothing around you. And they say, like, that's something that kind of happens up there, like, before a storm comes. But I'm like, what's the likelihood that you didn't know a storm was coming at all?
Okay, but if it's anything like Texas, maybe she didn't know.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's true. But, like, even in Texas, like, I know whenever a little Harvey finna come. Like, they say it's supposed to be a bad storm. Hey, I can tell if a little Harvey finna hit.
You can feel it in the air.
Yeah. Like, it's that air. Y'all know, I'm country. I can smell the rain. So I be knowing. But shoot, I don't know. I'm sorry to that woman.
Well, that's my answer. They must have her and the son. They both being tortured.
I can see it. I mean, fun to see it.
Recorded her scream and they just playing it to scare people.
Oh, that's petty.
Because you know, like on Halloween, and they have like those little recorders and they scream out. Maybe somebody's just trying to play jokes.
But if that's the case, that's the don't explain where her body went.
She got killed.
Because she was out of there.
Yeah, I don't know. That part. That's that part. I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
Because even then, why would you leave a bloody towel? Like, why leave that?
Well, like, because she was laying on old boy bed. So it just kind of like the blood spot from where she was laying at.
Okay, so it was the sheets.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he lying.
Yeah, I was like, maybe he took her out. And then he was trying to make a whole ghost story.
Right.
Cause I'm like, cause apparently like, he's a ski instructor, so he gotta stay up there. Maybe he out there just screaming at people, huh?
Like he everything.
True.
Like, no.
Really, hey, hot take: the ski instructor killed her and the son, and now he was trying to make a whole ghost story just to keep folks away from his house. Cause they said you don't even hear the wailing until you get near his crib.
That's probably what it was. He just was there. He was
like, exactly. Yeah. Well, speaking of one ghost story, I got another ghost story to hit a little bit closer to home because this happened to me. Let's get right into it right after this ad. Okay, so for this next topic, as I said, this is a little closer to home. This is from like the first house that I ever personally lived in. Monarch Drive, St. Louis, Missouri. You already know Hathaway Manors. You know how I get down, right? Okay, of course not. But so at this house, I only lived there personally for like 2 years. I moved to Houston whenever I was two. But I used to steady go back up there as a kid. So I remember I couldn't have been older than 7 or 8 because I was still like a little kid. I was sleeping in my cousin's room. So that's upstairs. So in St. Louis, if you don't know, a lot of houses, instead of like having an upstairs, have basements that you can go down into. And that's it's essentially a whole nother floor, but it's underground, right? So I was staying upstairs in my cousin's room. I couldn't sleep. So I get up. I was like, sitting around for a minute. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go watch some TV downstairs in the little basement, the little play area, because that's where we kicked it at. So I'm walking through the house. Everything cool. So I open up the door to go down the stairs. This is a pretty steep stairwell. I'll probably say it's like 30, 35 steps in this stairs. Like, you got to get down a little ways. So you got some distance. This kind of set the scene. I open it up, little 7-year-old me, short as hell, chubby, oblivious to the motherfucking world. Had the new locks in my head. Back when I first started my dreads, man, like, got no niggas. No. But I open up this door, and all I see is, it's a ghost. Like to say the least, it's a ghost. I don't really know how to describe, like, I can describe what he looks like, but I can't really describe, like, the color, huh?
When you just said it's a ghost, I kid you not, my phone flickered.
Like, I saw that. I seen that. Hey, the ghost still with me today.
Wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't mean to cut
you off. You cool.
That's crazy.
But yeah, it was a ghost. So I don't really know how to describe the exact color he was like, but he looked ghostly. So it was this old white man sitting in a wheelchair on a respirator, right? And he was like sitting in a wheelchair just looking up at me, just hella still. But I know as soon as I opened up the door, and I didn't hear this before at all. All I heard was, it's not like I even heard it coming from his mouth. It was like he was in my ear. It wasn't loud. It's like he was on me. I heard it. It's like I was wearing some headphones. Nigga, I was frozen. I ain't know what the fuck, man. I was like, bro, what the fuck? I wasn't even scared because, like, this nigga in a wheelchair, he's not gonna get up and whoop my ass. Like, in my head, I already processed out. Nigga, it's clearly a ghost in front of me. But I was like, I wasn't scared. I was just frozen. And literally, I was standing there. We were standing there for 30 seconds looking at each other. And I was like, I just didn't do shit. I just stood there looking at him for like a hot ass second. And then I just closed the door and I went back to bed. I was
nobody said anything. Y'all just
just stood there like, but I'm like, and I'm saying, there ain't no white man living inside my basement. I know clear as day this is a goddamn ghost. And there's confirmation for it too. I'm getting to it. So yeah, I closed the door and go back to bed. I'm sitting there the rest of the night, scared, right? I'm like, money, it is a goddamn ghost. And I'm sitting there just in bed, just trying to figure out what I just saw. Matter of fact, I didn't even go back to my cousin's room. I went to bed with my aunt. I was like, nigga, I'm sleeping with you tonight, Aunt Roro, because I'm not playing around with these niggas in this house. So they ain't telling me this in the moment. Come to find out, I was probably 11, 12 years old whenever they told me this. Apparently, whenever my grandparents bought this house back in the 70s, they bought it from this white family. Because Hathaway Manor's area we stayed in, it was black as fuck whenever my parents was coming up, all that. Back in the gap though, like 50s, 60s, that was a white ass neighborhood. That's whenever niggas was still in the city. They had all the white folks out in the suburbs before they started calling North County folks County Brownies, all that, right? It was a white family. Brownies? Yeah, that's a black folk from North County was called back in the day, the County Brownies. So it was a white family who lived in there. And apparently, so like my grandpa, he's a cop. So he found out like all the details of the house. He was just hella meticulous about everything. Your grandpa was a cop? He probably know my grandpa too. My grandpa's a lieutenant. He probably do know him. He know everybody. Family connections, you feel me? But yeah, so my grandpa's a cop. So he was hella meticulous about everything. So he found out every detail of the house. Turns out the people who owned the house, their dad was living with them. And he died downstairs. And he never came upstairs because he was in a wheelchair. Wow. Old white man, bro. Once I heard that, I was in motherfucking disbelief. I could not believe the words is coming out of their mouth. And yeah, I was out of there. Like, that's what
I wonder why he showed himself to you though.
I don't, like, you know what they say? Like, they say a lot of times little kids just have the ability to see ghosts. Like, I believe it. I said it before. I believe in ghosts. I think these motherfuckers be out here.
I believe if you feel like you saw him and you got that confirmation.
The confirmation was all I needed. That's before I was like, maybe it's his childhood imagination. Nah, that told me. That old white man.
That's why they'll show themselves to kids, though, because most parents will be like, no, you just seeing things, you mm-hmm. know, you making shit up.
Hey,
it's imagination. Yeah. So he was like, shit, I'm about to pop out.
Might as well show these niggas who really own this house. I was like, he has to be a pretty cool white man, though, because it was niggas living in this house for about 40 years. He ain't never killed none of us. We ain't get haunted. It was no haunted on Monarch Street.
You think ghosts can kill people?
I think they can drive people to death. Like,
you're crazy.
Yeah. Like, on the last episode, we talked about this different type of ghost called banshees. And literally, their ability is the fact, like, so there's two banshees in the set, right? The first one, it does is, like, kind of like a wailing woman. It does this high pitched loud yell at you, and that kind of signifies you're about to die soon. That's pretty much what that tells you. So then you're trying to tell people, blah, 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 I heard the scream, you ain't hear it, but the banshee, only you can hear it scream whenever it marks you. And then like a couple days later, the second banshee comes back and it yells at you again and makes you just start banging your head into the wall until you kill yourself, and then it eats your brain. That's the legend of the banshee. So I'm like, I think ghosts can do shit like that for like kind of drive you to the point of doing crazy shit. But I don't really think ghosts can kill you.
Well, yeah, because like, you know, you hit a ghost, and you ain't supposed to like go straight.
Yeah.
I would be scared as hell if I feel something connect.
That's what I'm saying. Now, if I feel something connect, it's game time. I'm locking up at that point because that means I'm sitting here getting played. Uh huh. I'm saying, unless you write up on a wall and I hit that wall, it's game time.
I wonder why they like to choose you. I guess you said because you were a kid, but like even then, like that makes me wonder. You know,
he knew real nigga presence. That's what I think it was. Okay. Yeah, he's from a young age. He's like seven or eight, something like that. Yeah, of course, had to be. What else? What?
So,
yeah.
Doesn't say nothing, so that's even weirder. Just breathing,
just all up in my ear. I felt like I was gonna get sick. Just all in my ear with it. Just
that sounds
high.
Breath.
Yes, breath. Y'all, all that heavy. 30 seconds. That closed the door, and I went back to my auntie bed. I was like, I'm not gonna play around with this. Y'all, I ain't got time for this tonight, man. Oh, the next morning.
Different.
Man, I was up the whole night just kind of sitting there. Then the next morning, my cousin's like, hey, you trying to go play Sonic on PlayStation? Hell yeah, we was right back downstairs with it. Those are my older cousins. I let them go first. They're 3 years older than me. I let them go first. They said they ain't seen nothing. Boom, I was like, cool, it's Sonic time.
I'm so scared. Even nowadays, my I'll be in the basement. It took me a long time before I
didn't
feel stuck
away
because it's so dark.
I know,
cold.
We used to sleep in the basement.
Like, yeah, I never did that. My cousins did that. I took my ass back to my room.
To this day, I still sleep in the basement. I don't sleep upstairs at all. No matter who house I'm at, I'm sleeping in the basement. Any of my grandparents' house, any of my cousin's house. The basement cool. It don't get hot at night.
It is cold. The basement is cold. So you never have to worry about that.
Exactly. Like, the basement is fun. And also, all my family members, they be having cool basements. Like the upstairs, that'd be the family friendly area. Yeah. So I'm like, that's where the kids be at. We have any type of family gathering, all the adults upstairs, kids, all right, we're going to the basement. Every single time.
I don't know. I guess that's a basement thing. Like every party we have, Chris, all that stuff, they just get the upstairs. You just be downstairs. But we have a bar downstairs too, so everyone stays downstairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think this is a St. Louis thing.
Maybe.
I mean, because everybody has to, even though I talk to my older cousins and all that, they say, no, we was on the same stuff back in the day. Like the basement, like the kids just go to the basement, adults be upstairs. That's just always how it is. But speaking of St. Louis, the next story is also occurring, well, not in the same city, but it's pretty much occurred in St. Louis. And this one directly involves my parents. I'm going to get right into it. It's some crazy shit. All right, so this is the last story we're about to get into. This kept me up for a few nights whenever I was a little jit. Man, so I remember whenever I first heard it, my mama, while we was up in St. Louis, y'all know that's the motherfucking city, the Lou. She took me up to where her and my dad went to school, right, for college. And while we was up there, she started telling me this story about this nigga named Jason. Well, I'm saying nigga, it was a white man, of course. As I said, white people, you got to do better. But it's about this man named Jason. It's a great serial killer name, off rip. But Jason, back in the gap, like back in, what, 98, that's when my parents started school, decided to kill somebody. And my parents was overly connected to this story. Like, it's like, they was connected to the point they ended up in articles associated with it, but they knew this nigga. So Jason, back in 98, decided that he wanted to start up his little serial killer spree by killing this little girl named Tiffany. That's her name. Yeah, Tiffany, right? 13-year-old girl. This man's 20-something, like 20. At the time. So Tiffany, she was like a little golden child in her parents' eyes. She was honor student. She had friends. Her friends were telling stories about how they used to be walking down to McDonald's after school singing songs they ain't supposed to be singing. What song was it? They said a very specific song. They said a very specific song. Damn. Yeah, because I started laughing while reading the article. What's it say? What's they singing? Damn. If I can think about it, I'm going to get back to y'all with it. Oh, they were singing Hoochie Mama from the movie Friday. She ain't nothing but a Hoochie Mama. Hoorah. Little white kids. But yeah, them type of kids. But then also in the background, and let me say, little warning. I'm not victim blaming. Let's get that. But Tiffany, she had a little trouble streak. She was out here stealing cars and shit, steady getting caught. And she smoked and shit, but you know, that's a little bit more normal in the 90s. But yeah, stealing cars, wrecking these folks' cars after she stole them. But yeah, she had a little trouble streak, but for the most part, I mean, she was on her shit. So Jason, sick ass, pulled up on Tiffany one night. And because he was walking around his one neighborhood and he saw her on the back porch. Smoking a cigarette. He's like, hey, you trying to smoke something? He's trying to talk to her, blah, blah, blah. Say, oh, I'm watching my little brothers. I can't really dip out right now. And he's like, man, come on. Like, just come walk, talk with me. Like, you got time, blah, blah, blah.
So they were talking?
No. He had just pulled up on her. He's like, he's trying to spit game. Mind you, this nigga's 7 years older than her. Off rip. Bad. But, yeah, he pulled up on that shit. And was like trying to like talk to her. So he took her and was like walking around and had her essentially had her like in these woods, like kind of near campus. Like they walked, let me say, her neighborhood wasn't that far from the campus, but they walked like maybe a handful of miles. They ended up like near these woods near campus, right? So from there, she's like, oh, my mom is going to be back home. My mom is going to be back home soon. I got to go back. Blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, all right, cool. I'll walk you back. So then they get to this little, like, they get to, like, a little woods area. They stop smoking cig. And then he can no say he confessed all this later on. He said, yeah, at that point, I know I was about to kill her. So he proceeds to rape Tiffany, and then he stabs her in the stomach, and then stabs her in the back of the neck, and she's paralyzed at that point. So she's talking to Jason, say, can you please just take me to the hospital? I can't feel my legs. And I mean, you already know that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So this is where it gets kind of dark. And why Jason Shipman is a sick motherfucker who deserves to be in jail for... Nigga deserves to die. He pleaded out, couldn't get the death penalty. This nigga deserves to die. After he already raped her and stabbed her twice, paralyzing her, he cut off her head and burned her genitals so that he wouldn't leave evidence behind. So he leaves the body there for a second. He goes to his dorm room. He grabs his bed sheet and he goes back. He wraps up her head and he carries it to one side of the campus to the other. And then he threw her head. No. Damn, how did it go? He threw her head like in a whatchamacallit? Porta potty, right? Threw her head in a porta potty. And then left her body in the woods. And then he threw the sheet inside this little pond near like the soccer fields on campus, threw some rocks on top of it, blah, blah, blah. So like, it will float down. And I'm gonna tell you later on how that got him fucked up. So he get away with it for a second. They like somebody next morning finds the girl's body. Like, bro, what the fuck? And they go on this big ass investigation for like 2 weeks. Literally to the point, they have Texas putting over people anytime they leave outside of campus, just trying to get some info on it, because the school was like, but if you talk to them, you're gonna be in trouble. Like, we're trying to get rid of the association to the school. And they're like, nah. So his roommate, Jason. They're both named Jason, right?
Can we call him Michael?
The roommate.
I'm trying to get confused.
So Michael. So Mike was in the room with his girl, right? They watching the news. So this is like big news. And the girl's like, this is like right after they discovered the blanket. Like the sheet that he threw inside the lake. So they were showing it on they're showing on TV. Like, this was a cold case for a second. Like, this was the point. They were just showing people exactly what the, like, new shit from the case. As soon as they find it, does this mean anything to y'all? This is how this nigga Jason fucked up. Jason has the most specific sheet in the goddamn world. They got the most specific sheet in the motherfucking world, bruh. They said this nigga sheet had the wing of a dove just going across it. That was it. A little tan sheet with the wing of a dove stretching across. So they send her, like, him and his girl send her, Mike and his girl send her. Damn. That's such a specific sheet. Then they look over at this nigga bed. This nigga been gone for like 2 weeks. Soon as old girl was killed, he dipped out. Jason dipped out. So they looking over. His girl was like, fuck that. She lifts up this nigga comforter. Same exact sheet, but the top sheet was missing. So this nigga proceeds to call the police, blah, say, blah. And then they scan the whole room, fingerprints, and of course, boom, like, he ends up getting arrested. They find him like the next town over in Bridgeton. Like, they scan their bedroom for fingerprints to connect it to the body to make sure that he was the one who did it, because there were fingerprints on the body.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he raped her. Like,
he didn't anything. Okay, I guess I get what you're saying. But I thought he raped her
right
when she was paralyzed, but he raped her first.
No, he raped her first, stabbed her twice, chopped off her head, and some people say he raped her again while her head was decapitated. I don't. They didn't say that in the article. This is what my mom told me. Huh?
I said, but who's to say?
Exactly. This is what my mom told me. Like shit that she was hearing while she was on campus. But you know, on campus, how shit go. Right. It could be anything, but they say Blossom did all that. And then they caught him after fingerprints in his room. They connected it, found out, yeah, nigga, it was Jason who did it. So here's how my parents are connected to the story. So yeah, they caught Jason that same night. And let me say, Jason being the hoe-ass nigga that he is, he pinned the murder on this random 15-year-old, had this 15-year-old kid sitting in jail for a year. just so the heat would be off of him for a little bit. And then eventually they found out Fitzgerald was innocent. And yeah. Like, but yeah. He blamed Fitzgerald on a child.
How did 15-year-old get framed though? You don't know what he did.
So they found Jason and Jason was like, nah. Billy Joe Larson did it. Billy Joe Larson's like the police, like on some Central Park file shit, the police is pressing him for hours on end. And eventually he was like, fucking, he just confessed. Okay. Yeah, he's confessed. Old boy sat in jail for a year. And then like the Innocence Project finally found out his real alibi for the night, and they proved it all together. And they was like, oh yeah, you can get out. You ain't had nothing to do with it. So yeah. So Jason, he's like, he ended up getting hit with 3 life sentences in 150 years. He ain't never getting out.
Forever. As he should be.
Yes. And then the real fucked up thing is, he said, yeah, man, if I never got caught, I was definitely going to become a serial killer. He's like, I just enjoy killing these people. He's like, she ain't did shit. Well, he's like, it wasn't any particular reason why I killed her. I saw her. And I was like, yep, it's time to become a killer. Right. Fucked up. So again, how my parents connected to the whole thing. So the two Jasons who lived together, Jason and Michael, they were roommates. My dad was his suite mate. So they didn't live in the same room, but they lived in connecting rooms.
That's scary as fuck.
Yes. And then at the same time, all this going on, because my parents, they had, like, no, they weren't even dating yet. This is, like, right before they started dating, so they didn't even know each other for real. But coincidentally, Jason also was an English major, like my mom. My mom and Jason had class together, sat near each other in class. My mom knew exactly who Jason was. And yeah, so all this shit was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. People be really crazy and functioning.
Exactly.
And you never know.
Exactly, bro. And like it fucked my head at first. It was like, especially after reading his article, because he pretty much said, yeah, it didn't really matter who it was. He's like, it didn't really matter who it was. I was trying to kill somebody. I'm like, bro, what if that had been my mama? Like, what if she was just walking around alone one night? I'm like, that's wild, bro.
What if he decided he wanted to just kill dudes? I mean, I have to wait for you.
Know, yeah.
I mean, but people
feel
like that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right next door.
Exactly.
Kill my roommate because I fucking
feel
like
that. Exactly. I'm like, that's some wild shit. Like, and then, like, yeah, old boy got arrested, but I'm like, you took away this pretty, like, 13-year-old girl, she was on a little bit of bullshit, but she had a promising future from what everybody says.
What's been wrong with me about this, too, is that, like, so you said she was watching her little brother. She just left her brothers to go with some random dude who pulled up on the side of her.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to say she deserved anything that she got. Like, I'll never say that, but she was asking for trouble. And who the hell just walks with somebody freely into the damn woods?
Young white girls. As I said on the last episode, young white women, quit being so goddamn trustful, man. Young white women, chill. But yeah, that's what happened. So Jason was out here trying to become a serial killer, got caught on his first little rap, and fuck that nigga for life.
Literally.
And yeah, that's the story of Jason Shipman and the Linda Wood murder, quite notorious throughout St. Charles. Not quite St. Louis, but St. Charles. For the folks who know. And yeah. So that completes this episode of the Creepy Tales Podcast with your boy Dub. You already know we're back with new episodes every single week, and we're gonna be right back at you. You dig?